John 21, 15 to 19. It's a familiar passage to some, and it's when Jesus reinstates Peter. And what I want to do is read through it a little bit at a time and just do a little bit of explanation as we go. I'm going to give a bit of a warning that I'm going to break the rules that I was taught when I was at college. They used to tell us about something called eisegesis. You've got exegesis, which is what you exegete, you take out, you interpret from the, you take out of the passage, you understand the context and what was meant. And then there's something called eisegesis, which is reading into the passage, something that isn't necessarily there. You see where I'm going? This is a classic passage when it comes to being eisegete. Anyway, that happening. Okay? Is it what Jesus meant? Maybe. Is it wrong to draw a certain idea or thought or theme or thread out of it? I don't think it is. It's in keeping with his word. So I just say that because this is a classic passage for this. Okay? And I'm probably doing what my lecturers at college would say, shouldn't really do that. But let's go with it. John 21, 15 to 19. I'll just read those verses. After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," Peter replied. "You know I love you. Then feed my lambs." Jesus told him. Then he said, Jesus repeated the question, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord," Peter said. "You know I love you." "Then take care of my sheep," Jesus said. A third time he asked him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. He said, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Then feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were young, you were able to do as you liked. You dressed yourself and went wherever you wanted to go. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and others will dress you and take you to where you don't want to go." Jesus said this to let him know by what kind of death he would glorify God. Then Jesus told him, "Follow me." We're just going to go through a little bit at a time. And we're going to just unpack this and think about some of the themes and threads that there are within this passage. It's all happening after the resurrection of Jesus. The disciples were fishing. They'd gone back to what they knew. Jesus appears to them on the shore. They'd had a rubbish night fishing. Jesus kind of advised them about what to do, and their fortunes changed significantly. But within all that, there's this moment of recognition. They twig. It's Jesus before them. Now, Peter, being Peter, can't quite wait for the nets to come in and the boat to be turned and returned to the shore. So he does this strange thing. He puts his clothes on and then dives into the water. What's that all about? He puts his clothes on and then he dives into the water and he swims to the shore where he finds Jesus cooking. They have breakfast. And then they have this interaction, this conversation. And that's where we pick it up in verse 15. It says, "When they had finished eating, Jesus said to him, said to Simon Peter, 'Simon.'" He said to Simon Peter, "Simon." Now, it's interesting that Jesus would call him Simon. Simon was his original name, the name that he had when Jesus found him fishing years before. Do you know what Simon means? It means reed, something that's vulnerable, blown in the wind. It means reed or shoot. So he calls Simon reed instead of Peter, which means rock. This was the name. Rock was the name. that Jesus had given Peter earlier on in their kind of journey. And it was a name given to him at a point of commissioning. He said, you're going to be a foundational, a rock-like figure in the life of the church. And I think it's really significant that in this moment, Jesus uses the old name. He calls him Simon. He doesn't call him Peter. And I was thinking about that. Why did he do that? Now, I don't think it was to make him feel bad. I don't think it was. I think Peter felt bad enough. You know, you remember what had happened? Peter's denial of Christ that took place in the run-up to the crucifixion. I tell you the truth, Peter, this very night, Jesus said, before the rooster crows, you'll deny three times that you even know me. I think Jesus, in using this name of Peter in this moment, wasn't saying, hey, mate, you've blown it. You've stuffed it up. So I'm going to withdraw the initial call and commission that I'm giving you. I wonder if what Jesus is doing in using this name is saying, do you know what, fella? That's my paraphrase. You did muck it up. You stuffed it up big time. Are you going to be a reed or are you going to be a rock? He's giving him the choice, I think. He's giving him the choice. Are you going to be a reed or are you going to be a rock? Jesus continues his interaction with Peter and he asks this question, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Who are these? Now, again, you read about this passage and there's discussion about who these or what these are. Is he saying, do you love me more than these? Looking at the boats and the nets and the fish. Remembering where they had come from, the career they had. Do you love me more than these? Possibly. Do you want this more than do you want what I'm going to offer you? I think that actually when he said these, he was probably pointing to the disciples around him, the others that were onlookers at that moment. And I think it was going to be a really potentially very awkward moment for Peter as they stood around. You wonder if Jesus asked the question, the knot forming in Peter's belly just got a little bit more as another wave of regret as he remembered his response to Jesus' comment about someone betraying him earlier in the account of the crucifixion. Even if all, he said, maybe pointing to the others, even if all fall away on account of you, I never will. You wonder if Jesus is just letting him know. The conversation goes on. And as we look at it, I want to remind you that something that Megan shared a few weeks ago when she preached. And we picked up on it again when we started talking about the fruit of the Spirit the following week. Remember, we were talking about the gift of, or the fruit of love. And this is where we're potentially reading into something that is there but may not be what Jesus originally or intended in his discussion with Peter. But I do believe it's okay to interpret it in this way and to look at it. And I want to use this passage as almost an analogy, a challenge at the beginning of this new term as we think about, you know, the months ahead. What is God calling us to? Where he is leading us to? What is he leading us into? You know, we know that there are a number of words for love in the New Testament language that it was originally written in, New Testament Greek. Do anyone know what they are? Agape, eros, Philae. Okay? I think there are others. Is there two? I thought it was... There's five in total, is there? Okay, well, let's go with those three. I said the other day, I heard that there are 20 words for love in the Gaelic language. But let's go with those three. Eros, romantic love. These are the ones we talk about most, isn't it? Eros, romantic love. Filio, which is a kind of a familial love, or even, I've read, an admiration. And then finally, there's this love that we talk about often in this place. Agape love, self-sacrificing, self-giving love, love that is at the heart of covenant, which is what a man and a woman make in marriage. Covenantal love, self-sacrificing, self-giving love. You know, in this exchange between Peter and Jesus, two of these words for love are used, filio and agape. And I want us to look at how they were used for a few moments now. Jesus has asked Peter, do you love me more than these? The word that Jesus uses, agape. Do you agape me? Do you love me with this self-giving, self-sacrificing love? Yes, Lord, Peter says. You know I love you. The word that Peter uses is filio. So do you agape me? I filio you. Do you love me sacrificially? I have admiration and brotherly love for you. See what the interaction is different. So Jesus then says, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus says, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Agape. Self-sacrificing, self-giving love. Do you agape me? To which Peter answers, yes, Lord, you know that I love you, filio, admire you, have brotherly love for you. Do you see what's happening? Jesus is asking one question, and Peter is answering a different question with his answer. Jesus says, take care of my sheep. Then it comes to a third time. The third time, he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Now, this is really, I think, significant. Jesus doesn't ask him if he agape love in that. He says, do you filio love me? So he goes, agape, agape, filio. And Peter kind of says, ooh, why are you asking me a third time? You know I love you. You know all things, and you know that I filio you. Do you see what happens through the wording that was used? Jesus sets the bar here. And Peter answers here. You know, admiration for Jesus is okay. A brotherly, you know, a sense of familial love is good too, but it's not what Peter needed. Or it's part of what Peter needed. Peter needed agape. He needed to know that there was a cost. That there was an element of self-sacrifice to the love that he had to have for his Saviour. Do you agape? Do you agape? And then finally Jesus says, okay, do you filio? Now I don't know if this is what Jesus meant. But I just felt as I meditated on this for the last few weeks or months, I felt the Lord speaking about this. And I felt sometimes Jesus sets the bar here, but we bring it down to here because we want to take as many people with us and incorporate as many people as possible. So instead of doing that, we do this. Does that make sense? Instead of stepping up to agape, we step down to admiration and filio. And because actually that's quite offensive, isn't it? It's quite difficult, it's quite challenging, it's quite costly, it's quite hard. But I want to say that that is where Jesus sets the bar. And he sets the bar through his life. He sets the bar through his death. He sets the bar through his resurrection. He sets the bar because his Father is who his Father is. And his father loves as his father loves. What is the word that God uses to describe himself? Agape. And he doesn't just say the word, he does the word. For God so agape loved the world, he gave his only son. He knew about cost. He knew about sacrifice. And I think that's why Jesus sets the bar where he sets it. And he expects us to do that rather than him to do this. And I think for Peter, as I've kind of said, the bar needed to be set there. It needed to be set there. Peter couldn't go ahead into all that lay ahead simply being an admirer of Jesus. Even simply considering himself as a brother, as important as that is, it was not going to be enough on its own. He needed to love with a self-giving, self-sacrificing love. He needed to understand that there was going to be a cost. There's going to be a cost, a sacrifice required. Do you love me? Do you agape, Jesus asked me. This is such an important question. And it's such an important answer. The way we answer it is so important. You see, Peter responds by expressing his love for Jesus, an admirer and a brother. But that's not what Jesus was asking. Jesus was asking Peter very publicly, do you love me? With a self-sacrificing, self-giving love. Are you willing to count the cost of following me? That's what he was asking. Are you willing to count the cost of following me? And the response came, I admire you. I love you like a brother. And, you know, at the third time of asking, so Jesus frames it differently. It's come down to this kind of, you know, Jesus brings it down, it seems, to his level. And even then, Peter takes offense. You see what's happening? We see what's happening here. I think that in doing this, Jesus wasn't telling Peter off. I don't think he was berating him for what has happened. You know what I think? I think he was offering him a choice again. You know, just as that, I think in the use of his name, Simon or Peter, do you want to be a reed or do you want to be a rock? I think in use of the language and how he's framed the question, he's saying, how do you want to do this? Do you want to be a reed or a rock? Do you want to love me this way or do you want to love me that way? He's giving him options and giving him choices. I do believe that those choices and options are there before us too. We can choose to be admirers. Or we can choose to be followers, loving with that self-sacrificing, self-giving love. Now, they go on to have this very interesting conversation about how Peter was going to die. And this is the bit that really kind of got me as I was reading this. So I was kind of meditating and thinking about how you know, the name that was used, how the questions and they were framed and they were answered. And then it came on to this kind of almost an odd verse. Jesus says, very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went out and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you'll stretch out your hand and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Now, as I was kind of reading this and following on, as I said, to these thoughts about Jesus lowering the type of love he sought from Peter, I got to the end of verse 18 and I thought, is Jesus describing the way Peter was going to die? Was his death, as Jesus was describing it, going to be a death caused by old age and possibly becoming kind of senile, if you like? Someone will dress you and will lead you. It could have seemed from what Jesus was saying that Peter was just going to grow old. And that would be the way he died. And I wondered, because I know a little bit about Peter's death. We have kind of tradition says that that's not how he died. But I wondered if there was this kind of like leaning towards this potential for Peter, if he chose to be a reed, not a rock. And if he chose Philia over Agape. You've got a choice here. The choice to, for Peter anyway, to grow old and just to die. And I wondered, just is that what is being offered to him in this moment? You can choose to be a Simon, go back to where you were. You can choose to be an admirer, even you can consider yourself to be part of your family, part of the family. And the path for Peter, the path that you can walk would be easier and the cost would be lighter. But then, you know, you read on. And you know what we know. So there are some points around the interpretation of that particular verse in verse 18 that would suggest that there was another way, another option before Peter that Jesus was kind of giving him. And then it goes on in verse 19, where it said Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. You know, in verse 18, again, look at some of the words. And I was reading sort of commentaries about it. It feels like it's stretching it a little bit, but it's, you know, is there sort of hints and nuances that create this sense of choice that is before Peter? That's what I'm trying to sort of lean towards. In verse 18, the word for dress that Jesus uses in the language of the Bible is kind of a play on words. It uses, you know, it's used from kind of getting dressed, but specifically it's about being girded or bound by a rope or a belt. And it's been suggested by the scholars out there that this was a nod towards Peter's being strapped to the crossbeam of a crucifix, because, you know, tradition says that actually Peter was martyred. He didn't grow old and die. I think it was a long time, but he was martyred. He chose to be Peter. He chose to be a rock, not a reed. Yeah? He chose Agape over Philia. And the impact was, in the end, that it led to his martyrdom. The tradition says that he was actually crucified upside down because he didn't want to be crucified the same way that Jesus was crucified, because he didn't feel worthy. You know, as I've read and I've meditated on this passage quite a lot over the last few months, I've wondered if Jesus, with the changing of the words that he used in the questioning of Peter, in the use of the name Peter and Simon, and also in some of the ambiguity of the description of his death, I just wonder, is he offering Peter, and maybe today, just for us, we want to be putting ourselves in his shoes a little bit, is he offering him a choice in that moment? You can be Simon, or you can be Peter. You can be a reed, or you can be a rock. You can take on your new God-given potential, God-given identity and purpose, or you can go back to what you were doing before you met Jesus. You can do Philia, or you can do Agape. You can be an admirer, or you can be a laid-down lover of Jesus Christ. You can be shaped by those, by what those around you think, or you can live by what God says. You can live for self, or you can die to self. You can like Christ, or you can live for Christ. You can choose a path of mediocrity or the path of martyrdom. Now, I think we need to just think about martyrdom a little bit. It's a spiritual gift, you know. I have to say, there aren't many people at the front of the queue asking for that spiritual gift when we have those times. The spiritual gift of martyrdom. You know, tomorrow evening, when the guys get together to pray, there are those brothers and sisters in our world for whom laying down their lives, physical lives, is a daily, daily potential, daily possibility. Now, the reality is that is not the case for us. We have to learn how to die to self in other ways, don't we? Because when we die to self, what happens? He can live in us. So I would say at this point, martyrdom looks very different for us in the comfort of this place. But we know, though, we know that there are those for whom that is not the case. You know, in that last verse of the passage that we read, Jesus says to Peter, "Follow me." And just as I kind of draw to a close, at the start of this new academic year, this new season and time in our lives, as we say, "Lord, where are you leading us?" The question this passage leaves me with, and I want to actually leave it with you, is this: what will it take from me? What will it require of me? What are some of the choices that I will need to make in this coming year to see what God has placed and put within me happen? What do I need to lay down, let go of? What do I need to sacrifice? What do I need to give? What do I need to change? And am I really willing to count that cost? Am I willing to count that cost? Jesus said to Peter, "Follow me." And Jesus says to each and every one of us the same: follow me. The question I guess we ask of ourselves in response is, will we? Will we? Some of us are quite good at starting to follow, but it's good to make a start, but it's not enough, is it? Some of us will say, "Yeah, we'll follow you as long as you go where we want to go." We just need him to pour his agape love into our hearts and into our lives and into our minds, don't we? An agape love that says, when you say, "Come, follow me," we'll go. We'll be willing to count that cost and take those steps because you said, "Follow me." And we just trust you put that call upon our lives. You've given us that purpose, that name. And you're saying, "Do you love me? Agape."